course it is. The weather today, highs of 18 degrees centigrade, lows of 13 degrees centigrade. It'll be a dry start with sunny spells, with the possibility of the odd shower in the afternoon.
This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
So, is the weather the same in Glinton, just outside Peterborough, England, UK? Tessa Snart?
Yes, it is. It's currently not raining, which is a good
sign. It's currently not raining. See, nailing that from there. And Catherine, you're quite right. It's the Tessa Snart who graced the entire county of Lincolnshire with her presence at last Thursday's Lincolnshire show.
Hi.
Hello.
I sort of recovered, told the tale, etc. And what were your thoughts, the sort of, not quite concluding sort of lines on this, but now you've had a whole, nigh on 160 hours to actually sort of put things into perspective. What did you make of the Lincolnshire show experience, Tessa Snart?
Oh, I thought it was very good. It was just so broad and vast. Obviously, we didn't get around it all in one day, but I would definitely go again.
Well, there we are. And, of course, your sister was there as well, so we had, kind of snart relatives in all sorts of ways. I was tempted to actually say, oh, so you're the one whose 18th birthday prevented Tessa from actually taking part in Countryside Links. But I thought...
It was, you should have.
That's not going to go down well when you're talking about a lady with bat wool or something along those sort of lines.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, the other thing is, tragically, Tessa cannot join us for the Great Yorkshire Show. Are there family commitments there?
I can't follow on.
Well, that's this year. Who knows what could actually happen? Ed Wellman will be joining us fairly shortly, we gather. Again, he'd probably struggle in to press a few buttons hither and there, as is his wont. He's a musician. That's what we're all like. But talking about music, Cameron Tilbury was on after 6 o'clock last night, actually, Tessa. Because if you go to the Nashville Access Area zone, you will actually see that he was doing a kind of real-time face video conference thing, effectively.
Oh, okay. I'll have to have a look at that.
Well, I think so, because let's face it, Nashville Access, Maple Star Music and Media, key parts of Sound and Country Vision, hosted by your good self, Tessa Snart, in late July, show number one.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Very good. And we may well be actually having a little reprise of some of the weekly numbers in concentrated form that Cameron has actually been providing for us. However, I can tell that you're quite clearly coping with the citizens of Peterborough. I'm almost about to rejoice because we're about to listen to this week's selection from Cameron. And let's just say, Catherine, you heard it yesterday for the first time. Any thoughts on... The Cameron Tilbury musical selection, of course, John Anderson and Magic Mama.
It was toe-tapping. I said I was dancing. I was a bit embarrassed by my dancing, but...
If you look at the Facebook page, you can imagine the excitement of Catherine. Obviously, it's a still photograph, but Catherine and Ken are there pretty much getting into a toe-tapping dancing routine.
I did actually see that picture.
Oh, it's awful.
I saw the Country Access. I saw a little bit on the Facebook page, yeah. So I just haven't listened to anything.
Well, it's okay, Tess. We know you're a busy, sophisticated soul having to deal with the demands of country music expert up and down the globe. Never mind.
Of course.
I'm still not quite sure whether actually... I mean, we identify that obviously it's not John Anderson from John and Vangelis and former lead singer with Yes who we're about to hear. It is indeed country music person, John Anderson. I'm not sure whether pronunciation-wise it should be Magic Mama. Magic Mama as opposed to Magic Mama. But, in deference to obviously to our American colleagues, this is John Anderson, Magic Mama on Siren FM.
Magic Mama from Malibu, she had a swinging back, yeah.
Always a Malibu Barbie, I recall, and clearly we could actually have Magic Mama, Magic Malibu, Magic Barbie. Very strange, but anyway, still toe-tapping, Catherine?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Kenna Zarebski, fashionably late. Magic Mama from John Anderson, does it still float your boat as it did yesterday?
Yes, it did.
It did, yes it did. But... our views at this particular stage of proceedings meaningless? As meaningless as actually, you know, parts of the United Kingdom trying to join or rejoin the European Union. They're not having it in Spain. They're not having it in France. What Tessa or Snart will actually make of it, this is the critical one. So, Tessa, what are your thoughts on Magic Mama John Anderson?
Well, I was toe-tapping too. That was brilliant. The lyrics were quite comical as well, I thought. So that was country at its best, I think.
It's clearly...
traditional.
Yeah, it's got the seal of approval and possibly likely to feature in the first edition, maybe, of... Countryside Edition. There we are. It's sorted already. The sort of planning is there. So good news if you're in the John Anderson camp. Well done. So, Kenna, any questions you'd like to put to Tessa Snart, who, as Catherine's rightly identified, Tessa, was she the soul we actually met last week at the Lincolnshire Show? Yes, she is. Okay.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Got exactly.
What have you been up to in the last week since the Lincolnshire Show?
Oh, gosh, I've been working. I actually went bowling yesterday.
Oh.
But
was this 10-pin really. Bowling? Was this with the special shoes? Yeah. Was this Homer Simpson-type bowling?
Yeah. I think it's square shoes. You can now wear your own. If you're wearing flat shoes, you can bowl in your own shoes.
You can bowl in your own shoes?
You can, which the reason you go bowling is to put on the Geesey Clown shoes.
Well, precisely, surely. I mean, you know, are they rewriting the culture of the Western world in Glinton just outside Peterborough, or was it actually in Peterborough?
No, it was actually in Peterborough. Ah. It was the most popular one, because we have two bowling alleys that most people go to.
It's something to pass the time, I suppose, really. Let's just do a quick... Ken, are you a keen bowling person?
Yes, I like bowling. Where I work, we actually have two bowling lanes, because I work at Centre Parks. And I think it's not the same without putting the shoes on. So I always try to, even though the people I go with tend to like want to wear their own shoes. So, yeah, I like bowling.
So clearly the shoes are a critical part of the experience. And Catherine?
They are.
I love it, but I don't really get to go. And when I do go, I like the shoes.
Could be a big issue with respect to that. I mean, clearly there needs to be a survey done, and Tessa, you could have actually sort of, you know, put your finger on something which could decimate the bowling industry, at least half of Peterborough. So, how competitive do you get, Tessa? I mean, is it a case of, I've got to win, I've got to knock those pins down, I'm going to go for that?
Well, I'm not a very competitive person, I wouldn't say. I went with some friends and they're very competitive, so I have no chance at winning really with them. So I wouldn't say I'm that competitive, I just go to have fun really.
Strange actually, Tessa, I always thought that you would actually murder the opposition, you'd just basically be merciless, you'd just go straight the whole thing.
It gets to the point where I think, I really need to try now, but... You know,
well, I suppose that's like life, really, isn't it? Yeah. You know, it could be wandering through that. So, you know, I mean, England playing Iceland, maybe about the 80th minute or so, they thought, well, I really need to try now. So, you know, we really should actually do it. Seize the day. Life is not a rehearsal. And, you know, run with it. Obviously,
that's
with
true.
Or without the right kind of bowling shoes could be critical.
Definitely.
So, who would you like, Tessa, to ask you those last two questions? Would you like Catherine to ask them, or would you like Kenna? It's entirely up to yourself. You might even decide to be radical and say, can they not have a question each? Anyway, it's up to you.
Yeah, exactly. But
we couldn't quite hear anything there, Tessa. You kind of just went to be sort of possessed by the Borg in terms of the sign. So would you like to just reiterate that response?
I said maybe they could both say it in sync. There's a challenge there.
Oh, choral syncing. Well, Lily Holliman is singing on the show last night, live from her telephone line in California. So, a one, a two, a three.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Tessa?
I most definitely have, as always. Yeah.
And a one, a two, a three.
Will you be joining us again?
Definitely, if you'll have me back next
Hooray! Little after 17 minutes past 8 o'clock on Thursday, June the 30th, 2016. And if you want to actually give yourself a treat after the production, why not go to one of our podcast sites, southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com, and listen to the Fitzwilliams Post-Brexit Perspective, a good 25 minutes shared with yours truly and the legendary Richard Fitzwilliams about the whole Brexit thing. That's my kind of way, Richard, of saying we're not going to talk about it at all now during this particular link, because if you want to listen to the whole thing, and it is fascinating, check out film critic and royal correspondent Richard Fitzwilliams sharing your thoughts on recent political matters and with food for thought.
We might indeed do something, say, in a week or two.
We probably will, Richard, but we may well have become part of the United States of America then. Who knows?
You know? Now, who knows indeed? That's the thing. Who knows? Question mark.
Exactly. So
what we need, I think, perhaps, is the intervention of Elvis.
Do you know, I was just sort of thinking, you know, clearly that's the whole routine. Before you do that, Richard, one of the things our regular correspondents have been sharing the joy in is congratulating our midweek drivettes, Emma Tinson, who got a first-class honours, and indeed in the studio, Kenna Zarebski and Catherine Morton, who also had first-class classification degrees in journalism. Would you like to share that with the world, Richard, the official?
I certainly would. Many congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
When you get the Fitzwilliams seal of approval, it's almost, almost like getting one from Her Majesty. But not quite, obviously. It's
worth every penny of 62p, excluding security, which is the latest royal accounts out this week. But
yeah, exactly. You just don't know where we're going to go from that perspective. Anyway, we said we'd steer away momentarily. Well, actually, it's not really politics, because she's above politics. So that's
very she is, and that's very important. Yes. Certainly at the moment, I would make the point I did before, that at a time when politicians are, shall we say, their ambiguities of behaviour are fascinating to watch anthropologically. We have a monarchy above politics, which is extremely popular, and we have a monarch who knows and has a tremendous amount of experience and sagacity that can only help at such a time, but the Queen will keep out of it.
I shall quote from Joe Murphy and Joseph Watts: a tight phalanx of Tory MPs marching through Westminster last night marked a transformation that will determine the future of Britain. We're talking about Team Boris. That's it. No more. Draw the line. Let's move on. I want to find out more about that. Check out today's I newspaper. Let's go on to Elvis, please, Richard.
Yes, sir. This is actually very, very interesting. On December the 21st, 1970, the meeting between Elvis Presley and President Nixon, I mean, directed by Lazar Johnson, I have to say that this movie, people have been complaining it's very slight, doesn't mean very much, and you know, I'm not suggesting that every movie we see has to shine a light on the human condition, that it tells us a great deal about ourselves, because there is such a thing as putting a weird occasion, and this was weird, if ever there was one, on screen can be very good fun. Biopics, I like them, and whereas there are often problems with the individuals involved trying to ape, to look like those they're portraying, here I think it's done exceptionally well. What very much entertained me was that you see excellent performances by Michael Shannon as a shambling Elvis. I have to say, Elvis is 7 years from the end. He watches television in the first scene, and he sees demonstrations, he sees trouble. My goodness, he thinks, could it be those anti-American group, the Beatles, is responsible for some of it? He's appalled, and he wants to become a federal agent at large. He'll infiltrate some of these lefty groups. And I mean, it's extraordinary. We know Nixon was paranoid. We know Nixon insecure, certainly about his looks. But it's very interesting. You see two individuals trapped, so to speak, in circumstances that are extremely unusual. They're both divorced from reality. They're both paranoid, and they both make fascinating or very entertaining company. It isn't a film with depth, but if you want Kevin Spacey, interesting to see the various Nixons we've seen on the screen, and I like Frank Langella, I have to say.
And not Anthony Hopkins, Richard.
I have to say, I never saw Anthony Hopkins as Nixon.
Oh, well, there we are then.
So that I can't say, but I did think Langella's Nixon was brilliant, but Spacey captures the mannerisms of this rather extraordinary inhabitant of the White House, who was 4 years from disgrace, in a photograph that apparently is the National Archives' most sought-after photo. And there is a lot to enjoy in this movie. Elvis simply turns up and wants to enter the White House and meet the president. And there's some
Well, he's the king, after all. So if the king can't meet the president, who can?
King, yes. The king meets Tricky Dicky is the obvious title for any review of the sort. But the script of this film is extremely entertaining. As I say, we're not looking for something of great depth. What we are looking at is something that's absolutely weird. And Elvis, shambolic, yet the point has been made that Elvis's music does enter this movie, but then we know it so well, and the facts are that it's so bizarre, you really couldn't make it up. Since it actually happened, why not make a film about it? And I was very, very entertained, I have to say, because Nixon and Elvis find so much in common, since, as I say, they're both paranoid, both living unreal lives, and the fact that they both believe communism is rotting the real spirit of the United States. Very interesting little sidelines on the aides of Nixon who appear, because at the end we see what happens to them. I'm saying no more, but it is extremely entertaining. The only problem is that there is rather a silly subplot by Alex Pettifer, plays Elvis's friend Jerry Schilling, and he has to get home in time to see his girlfriend on a special occasion, and that becomes especially irritating because it's nothing really to do with the main movie, which features, among other things, Elvis doing a bit of karate in the Oval Office.
Well, of course, because, you know, without Elvis as karate, the Osmonds wouldn't have had their karate scenario, and Elvis and Nixon, the untold true story behind the meeting between Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, and President Richard Nixon, results in this revealing yet humorous magical movie, immortalized in the most requested photograph in the National Archives, as you rightly said, Richard. Kenna, are you sort of drawn to Elvis and Nixon?
Absolutely. Elvis Presley, I'm a bit of a fan of his, and I've been brought up with his music through my granddad. So whenever I listen to Elvis Presley, I'm instantly thought of, it reminds me of my granddad straight away. And
was he all shook up? Was he a hound dog? Was he,
no, more of Wise Bells.
I just can't help falling in love with you. There
yes.
We are.
No, but I do love his music as well. And I was just saying, watching the trailer, I would very much like to see that, absolutely.
It's great fun. Do go and see it. You'll find it's got a lot of laughs. And because it really happened, I mean, had it been made up, it would be pretty pointless. But because it actually occurred, it's well worth seeing. Two top-class actors, Michael Shannon as Elvis, Kevin Spacey as Nixon. Highly amusing.
Do you think we can actually have a similar thing with respect to, Donald and Liam? Say Liam Gallagher meets Donald Trump. That might be a sort of sequel.
Yes, I do think so, but I think Donald Trump, I won't. On the programme, I'm just trying to think where I would like Donald Trump to be put.
A lot of people are thinking that, Richard, but let's
just... Yes, they are, but I think the American equivalent of Madame Tussauds, I'm not sure what it is.
Were
he to be stuffed, and because, I mean, you know, as a businessman, and you know, not disputing he's made his mark, if he actually could be...
Immortalised in wax in a kind of Vincent Price way.
I think stuffed with money. You remember the cook, the thief?
His wife and his lover. Yeah. We're into Peter Greenaway. But we haven't found out what Catherine Morton thinks of Elvis and Nixon. Would you be going to see it?
It's something I'd definitely go to see. Oh, sorry. Me and Kenna really like Evan Peters as an actor as well, and we've seen that he's in there too, so that definitely
goes. Yes, Colin Hanks as Bob Crow, Evan Peters as Dwight Chaplin, and Tate Donovan, Nixon's notorious aide Haldeman. They all give good performances, and I say I'm not dwelling on what occurs, but portrays what happened in real life. The movie does tell you at the end what happens to all Nixon's aides whom you see.
We need to know, clearly. You know, post-Watergate, back in the 1970s, we need to follow this thing through.
It's so interesting that when they get together, one of the most entertaining parts of this movie was that Trisha Nixon wants Elvis's autograph, and Elvis is still slightly surprised. What about Julie? What about the other one? He says he can't remember the name of Nixon's other daughter. Oh, she likes the Beats Boys.
Yeah, well, there's always a challenge. Anyway, moving on, Richard, got a couple of minutes left. Have you got any other thing you'd like to sort of bring to us as well?
Very briefly, yes. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Tina Fey, I've always been very fond of her because she and Amy Poehler were such wonderful hosts at the Globe. Such a pity somebody called Gervais intervened and is now back, not too permanently. But it's a comedy drama set in Afghanistan. She plays Kim Baker, who's sent out to cover the war, and it's supposed to be an assignment, just briefly. She's an American, she's a boyfriend in Manhattan, and doesn't expect to stay. And it's the way that she becomes a bit of a war junkie as a journalist, and it's a curious movie. It's set between 2004-2006. The war in Afghanistan, it's not getting that much coverage in the States, but equally they want a reporter on the spot, and it's what transpires, the camera D and the backstabbing among the journalists, the rather strange interviews. I have to say again that Alfred Molina plays a corrupt and libidinous Afghan politician, and he's a bit shambolic. Christopher Abbott plays her Afghan guide and helper. Again, the business of white actors playing roles that might well be, better employed actors from that particular area or from ethnic minority groups. I would make that point. Having said that, it's a rather curious movie. Faye is, her very vulnerability and yet her feistiness, it's an odd mix because she finds herself in this war zone, and that is quite literally where going through a bit of a midlife crisis, she actually does develop, and as a character, this is her rite of passage. Nothing new in it. She falls for Ian, a Scottish photographer played by Martin Freeman. I do have to say, it isn't funny enough to be a successful comedy. It isn't dramatic enough to be a top-class involving drama. It's an odd, quirky mix where we must mention Billy Bob Thornton as a general, telling her initially, you really mustn't sleep with any of my men, but my goodness gracious me. There's action. That's what she really wants. And, of course, she becomes rather enamored of Martin Freeman. But I do like Faye. There's something about her that's in a script that wasn't that witty, in a movie which is rather underwhelming. There's something that appeals to me about her that made it decided.
She lifts the quality of the script to another level, obviously. That's the key.
Yes.
And can shoot a submachine gun, which is very effectively, you know. Girls with guns, dangerous combination. I'm looking at the...
Girls with cameras,
let's face it. Catherine, thoughts on Whiskey Tango Foxtrot?
I really like Tina Fey. Ever since the first time I saw her was in Mean Girls, so ever since then I've been a fan of her movies. I think she's a bit of a comedy genius on the
Was that with Lindsay Lohan?
Yes, it was.
Classic.
In that case, but just a word of advice. If anyone's, I'm not suggesting soul on this program, or anyone involved in it would ever be unfaithful to their partners, but if you are, be careful when you're on Skype, and if you've got anyone in your room and you don't want to reveal, be careful that they don't...
Well, of course, exactly. We've also got Margot Robbie in there, who, of course, the world cannot wait to see her incarnation of Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad in August, so great stuff there too. But Kenna?
Yes, brilliant. I actually have already seen this trailer when I went to the cinema, and I remember thinking then, I must go watch that, because I do love Tina Fey as well, and... It's not,
does she know?
It's not particularly something I probably would originally go and see, but after watching the trailer and finding it quite funny, just watching that, I would definitely go and see it, yeah.
There's quite a lot of fun doing, and also there's a journalist, Tanya Van Der Poel, played by Margot Robbie, who shows all is not love and all is not camera D among journalists. As you would expect, one must make the point.
What a shock there, I know, but, you know, sometimes journalists have disagreements. But, I know, sometimes, Richard, you just break those news factors and who knows where we're going to go.
Well, we know that. I mean, there's a bit much cross-cultural caricaturing in this movie, but it's an unusual insight.
Okay.
And it's Faye who saves it.
That's perfect, Richard. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot and Nixon and Elvis. Elvis and Nixon, both winning comments from yourself and both giving the thumbs up of the Midweek Drivettes as well. So, Kenna, last two questions for Richard Fitzwilliams, please.
Richard, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Most certainly have.
Wonderful. And would you be joining us again soon?
Yes, it's a wild and whirling world and we must do our best to keep abreast of it.
The crowd are going crazy. Richard Fitzwilliams is about to leave the building, or is that Elvis who's entering?
He does. He turns up and no one can believe it.
I just can't help believing when she smiles up soft and gentle with a trace of misty morning and a promise of tomorrow in her eyes. I just can't help believing when she's lying close beside me and my heart beats with the rhythm of her sighs. This time the girl is gonna stay. This time the girl is gonna stay. Well, I just can't help believing when she slips her hand in my hand and it feels so small and helpless that my fingers fold around it like a glove. Well, I just can't.
And although it's a cliched link, it is difficult to believe that over half of UK business owners don't know how to set up a workplace pension. In many ways, this is one of the critical factors. Obviously, you're planning for your future, looking to develop various other factors. Our recent research has actually claimed that many small businesses are confused and worried about setting up a workplace pension. And we're delighted to be able to welcome now to the programme Director of Policy and Market Engagement, Darren Phelp, or Darren Phelp, I should say, from, of course, the Pension Quality Organisation. Darren, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Excellent.
Well, thank you.
So this particular aspect that half of small businesses said they wanted help in and support in setting up a workplace pension, I thought the official line was everybody should know that actually you needed to establish a pension system. I mean, it's not, you know, what is the challenge?
Well, the basic challenge is that we're all living longer and we're not saving enough for our retirement. So what the government has done is it said, as I said, that every employer in the land will now need to provide a pension for their staff and to make minimum contributions. The basic problem is, though, is that small employers haven't really been involved in pensions before. They find them complicated, and actually they've mainly been focused on, you know, producing the goods, producing the widgets, or providing that much needed valuable service. So, you know, people don't really know where to go to get that help and support.
In the studio, we've got two fine folk who are a wee while away from their pensions. They're just about to graduate. That's Kenna and Catherine. It's obviously it's never too soon to actually start setting up your pension package. But, I mean, Kenna, have you sort of thought about the pension side of things?
No, not really. So what advice would you give to me?
Or indeed, if Kenna wishes to set up a small business, where can they actually go to actually find out about, you know, small workplace pensions? Or indeed just workplace pensions?
So there's two questions in there. I think for Kenna, I think the important thing when it comes to pensions is make sure you're in a scheme. If you're working for an employer, make sure you stay in that scheme. And contribute as much as you can. The more you can save, the earlier you can start saving, the better retirement outcome that you'll actually have. I appreciate it's really, really difficult. We know that household budgets are stretched at the moment. We know that people have other priorities. But if your employer, as they now have to, is operating a workplace pension, then, you know, stay in it, because ultimately you're getting free money from your employer. From the employer's perspective, what the pensions regulator will do is they will write to small employers telling them that they will need to have a pension. Don't ignore that letter is the first piece of advice, and then go on to the pensions regulator website, where there's lots of useful tools, help and guidance material that can tell people what they need to do and when they need to do it.
From the perspective of business owners, is the general feeling that they're actually more concerned about their staff, which hopefully we'd like to think that they were, or is it a case of the potential fines that they might be faced with could also impact on them? So they go, oh, we just don't know what to do with this, so let's get it sorted.
Yeah, so actually, the good news here is it's both. So we know that small employers do care about their staffs. Quite often you'll have, family members working in a small employer. It's a much more close-knit community. You're working with these people and your staff all day, every day. And from a lot of the focus group stuff that we have done previously, the small employers really do care about their staff, and they want to provide, good benefits, and they want to do the right thing. The trouble is, it's just confusing for them. Awareness of fines when it comes to this is very high. So, if an employer doesn't do this or gets it wrong, there's a potential to be fined £400 as a one-off, but then there's ongoing daily fines after that until you actually do this.
Catherine, studio co-presenter this morning, any thoughts on this particular aspect?
Well, I know we were talking about whether we're going to get buried or cremated yesterday, but I haven't had much thought for my pension.
As you can tell, Darren, we're covering all the bases this week here.
It sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Though the pension comes first, I haven't had much thought about it, but would you recommend talking to family members that have got ideas about it? Go there first?
Yeah, I think so. There's a wealth of advice and information and guidance that are around. I think that, family members is always a good port of call. Do that. But there's also various government websites and independent websites that you can go to get some good information. So there's an organisation called the Pensions Advisory Service. And what they do is they provide some really good information about pensions. And that's a really good first port of call if you want to find out some of the basics.
Darren, you've provided some fascinating and vital information with respect to that. Just a couple of sort of final things with respect to auto-enrolment, a phrase that people might have actually heard about, but just would you like to share with us what is auto-enrolment?
Yeah, so auto-enrolment is the government's policy of making sure that employers provide pensions for their staff. And what happens in auto-enrolment is that the employer has to put their staff in if they meet some various salary criteria, and then the individual can opt out if they want to. So the individual isn't forced to save, they can opt out of that pension scheme. The employer also has to make minimum contributions to that scheme as well. So from an individual's perspective, from the staff's perspective, it's like having free money from your employer. And the whole thing is designed to get people saving for retirement, because we all know that people are more focused on sort of current expenditure, buying the next cup of coffee or buying the latest new piece of technology, rather than thinking about something that might be 20, 30, 40 years down the road.
And Darren, that is why you are the best Director of Policy and Market Engagement of the People's Pension ever. So there we are.
Thank you very much. It's very nice of you to say so.
Delighted to join you, to connect with you, good self, this morning, Darren. And clearly the message that comes across is sort out the pension, look towards it. A quick reminder, Darren, of the best website to actually go to find out details and information it would be?
Best website would be the Pensions Regulator website, so www.thepensionsregulator.gov.uk.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, even, a reprise there at the end, of course, the album. 20 years ago today? No, not on 50 years ago today, or thereabouts. I think it's next year, the 50th anniversary of Sergeant Pepper. Would you know Ian Lennox?
I wouldn't, but I do know that one of the people on the cover was a guy I used to know, well, met a few times, called Albert Stubbins.
The
who was a very famous footballer for Liverpool.
He was indeed, yes.
And I think he was the hear of John Lennon, I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he certainly wouldn't have been playing for Iceland, would he?
No, and I think if he'd been playing against Iceland, there might have been a different result, actually.
Yeah, well, I'm not that I should actually sort of gainsay you in any way, Ian, because at the end of the day, with the predictor challenge we've been running with our sister station, the final will actually be between yourself and Rob, because, as you know, both Jenny Fincher and myself predicted a 2-1 win to England. Clearly, we just reversed. We needed to reverse those numbers around.
I presume predicted in England.
You didn't have to predict it because you'd gone through another route, Ian. You know, you'd see. You didn't have to predict that at all. So you know, you've done sensationally well.
I've certainly failed anyway.
And if you'd like to find out what Ian Lennox's predictions are, well, go and access podcasts. We haven't got time to work through that today, Ian. It's time for you now to, in your capacity as an ace journalist who has been a TV producer, who has obviously written for Manchester Guardian, did a whole stack of things, to formally congratulate not only Emma Tintz and Claire Margerison, but also in the studio, Catherine Morton and Kenna Zarapsky, because do you know what their final degree classification was, Ian Lennox?
No.
First class honours it was.
Wow. Oh, very well done.
Thank you very much.
So I put it down to, you know, the sort of the regular sort of links that we've had with your good self here. Even though Kenna and Catherine, even though Kenna and Catherine haven't really been connecting with you over the year, I think through osmosis it's been feeding through the system. So well done. And of course,
I think when I was teaching at Sutherland, and the people in Farman who got first class were very outgoing and they did get involved in things.
Well, it doesn't sound at all like Kenna, really. A very introverted young lady from Nottingham, really, but very good stuff. And indeed, sort of cutting the mustard as midweek drivettes as well. Serious note now, Ian, because I'm quoting from Tuesday's Eye, and I thought, well, we need to actually have the view of our Newcastle correspondent on this one. In Monument Mall, Newcastle, on Saturday, this is according to Grace Dent, the writer of this particular piece, the National Front unveiled an 8-metre-long banner proclaiming "Stop Immigration, Start Repatriation." Did that actually happen? And what?
I think it did. I have got no empirical evidence of this, but I did see something on the social media where there was a sign saying that. And I think it looked as though it could be near the Grays Monument.
Yeah, well, we would heartily sort of repudiate that and say that's outrageous. But
I don't know what happened. I mean, I assume it's against the law.
Well, I hope they've taken it down, shall we say, and ripped it down.
I think quite a few people would like to rip it down. I don't know whether the police got involved, but there was an even more disturbing thing came on the social media about an incident on the Manchester tram going into the city, I think, and some brave person filmed it on a I presume mobile phone, and as a consequence, three young men have been charged, I think. There has been an increase of these incidents happening.
Well, when the Polish embassy in London can actually say that they're concerned by the recent incidents of xenophobic abuse directed against the Polish community and other UK residents of migrant heritage, I think we need to actually just take a step back to say, look, OK, whatever the result, let's just sort ourselves out on this particular aspect. Because,
well, I think what's got to happen has got to be, the police have got to get involved very quickly and the people have got to go before the courts.
And indeed, it was pointed out by Grace Dent, the Poles, a largely peaceful community throughout Britain, were also our crucial allies in the Second World War, targets of such spite. It's not good, is it, Kenna?
The Poles, the Battle of Britain, the Poles, the Polish squadrons shot down more planes than anybody else.
Indeed. And we're still in the European Championships as well, so all great stuff as far as that's concerned. Yes, it all comes down to the footballing game, I'm sure.
Yes, and that's probably my joke about still being in Europe.
Yes, don't worry. It'll be, Catherine, any questions for Ian Lennox, who, as I say, seasoned pro, ace writer, etc., now that you've graduated with your degree, Ian is probably going to be the guru of wisdom and advice. Or maybe
really? Yeah. In a bad way, then.
Yeah.
Well, what do you recommend for someone who has just... well, is about to graduate but hasn't quite got a job yet? Do you recommend me throwing myself in there or clinging on to that student life for a little bit longer?
I don't know. It depends on the individual. You're going to have to what feels best for you at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
How confident you are eventually getting a job or just taking the first job that goes and getting in the bottom of the ladder. it's a matter of an individual choice. And I don't know, I mean, how much more do you want to be an academic?
How much more do you want to be an academic?
Well, I mean, yes, I mean, how much longer do you want to be an academic?
Exactly. I love being an academic.
Pardon?
Kenna loves being an academic. Sorry, how
well,
you
I mean, well, look, that's the start. I mean, with a first-class degree, you've got a very good chance of doing that, following that path. Yeah. I think what you've got to do, really, is to go to the university jobs advisors. Actually, we've got them down in Lincoln.
We have that and electricity and running water as well. It's astonishing, Ian. The amazing things that we actually have in this space.
I just don't know how... I assume all universities must have people who advise people on jobs and go and talk to them. Because it's A, they're experts, and B, they'll have a list of the possible outlets you can have. There's a girl I taught at, I helped a little bit at Sunderland, and she became a tutor straight away. She's since moved on to somewhere else. Now, I thought she probably went into that job too quickly, because she didn't have the empirical knowledge of journalism.
Precisely. You've got to have a bit of life.
A
bit of life experience.
There are probably ways where you can negotiate to do both.
Well, there is
you could probably you could do your teaching during your vacations and things. You could probably second yourself to newspapers or radio stations, things like that.
It all slots into life's magical scenario. But clearly, we also...
It was much simpler in my day, anyway.
Was it really, Ian? Is that not just a case of looking longingly backwards into the past in a nostalgic way and thinking, it was a lot easier then, you know?
When I was doing the teaching, there was a group of parents came round the university, and it didn't behold to me to talk to them at all, but this lady, rather officiously, said I had to. Suggest that I should do it. So I just told her my year was different from theirs. They were learning the basics of their trade very, very thoroughly at university, but I was just chucked in the deep end. But you learn very quickly.
We knew you could cope. I don't know.
Well, some people couldn't, you see.
Well, then they will no longer be with us. They'll have to find their own métier in life.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to reveal the photograph of Ian Lennox and, I believe, Ollie on the back of Ian's neck there. Is it Ollie or is it Oboe?
I don't know which photo. There's more than one, so I don't know.
There's so many photographs that's actually there. Kenna, would you like to describe the sort of the feline that's suddenly connected?
Is it the one wrapped around
small,
my neck? Little,
small, it, black,
yeah.
White whiskers.
Yeah.
They're both black and white.
Newcastle Cats, you say, there wouldn't be anything else. It's all right, Ian, don't worry. Andros Townsend, obviously he'll get you some money in. That's the important thing. It's £13 million.
Well, there's some question now coming as well. He wants to stay or not, actually.
Really?
He's very grateful. You see, what happened was his career was going nowhere, really.
Yeah.
He was in Tottenham Reserve team and not liked there, seemingly. And he came and with Rafa Benitez.
Yes.
I think he was one of the best coaches.
Was relegated.
And suddenly he became a pivotal member of the Newcastle team and should have been in the England squad. If he'd been in the England squad, he would have lost to Iceland.
Ahead of such genius as Jack Wiltshire, who's obviously paid his hour and a half so far, indeed Jordan Henderson, when you could have actually had Ross Barkley in there as well. Don't get me started, Ian. It's going to be last chance saloon for Mr. Sterling, I believe, at the Etihad. A last chance saloon. Who knows, maybe Pep Guardiola.
Well, I wonder what's going on with the goalkeeper as well.
Look, good news.
Guardiola likes a goalkeeper who can play like a last defender.
The good news, Ian, is that at least Joe Hart dandruff free. All right, might make cock ups and various other things,
but
dandruff free,
didn't he?
Well, yeah, exactly. Okay, he's got the head and shoulders.
It would be dreadful for a goalkeeper to let three goals in.
As people have actually said, maybe paraphrasing Oscar Wilde, to get out of Europe once may be considered carelessness. Twice. It's just outrageous. Are we cat people, by the way? I mean, obviously we're not going to transform metamorphosis-wise into a cat, but I mean, Catherine, do you like your cats?
I do. I have a little cat called Tilly, but I do also love my dogs, but I'm not allowed a dog, so...
Why?
Because... Well, my dad doesn't really like pets, so my cat actually lives next door with my nan, who lives next door to us. But yes, we've got a little Tilly.
You have visiting rights, presumably.
Yeah, we have visiting rights.
A secret cat lab between the houses.
Yeah, I'm allowed to go visit.
It's good.
For the passport.
And Kenna?
I would never have one, I'm afraid.
No.
I'm more of a dog person. I want a little pug. Right. That's my dream dog. We can't have a dog at home or any pets really because there's no one in the house long enough to watch them. But yeah, I would never buy a cat. But me and Catherine have a friend who is obsessed with cats.
Yes.
And I actually went to the Kitty Cafe in Nottingham and I loved it. Like, you can sit there, have
brilliant.
A cup of tea, have some food, and there's cats surrounding you, so...
You see, there we have it, Ian. Why don't you take Ollie and Obo for their summer holidays to the Kitty Cafe in Nottingham?
I believe there's one in... Whereabouts are you?
There is, yeah, there's a
yeah.
I think it's some sort of... Yeah, they haven't got a bus pass there, so I'm not
I can tell you you're not taking this as seriously as we hoped you might, actually.
Why should I?
Well, you know, I just thought you might be there or not. Okay.
One of my cats, they've all got the funny little sort of characteristics, and one of them seems to knocks over waste paper bins, picks out little bits of paper, and treats it like it's called a mouse, and he drops it on your lap, and you've got to throw it, or you get all the noise. And there's one night I was going off to the pub and I'd left this £5 note on the mantelpiece and they'd gone. And I realised what happened, he'd taken it. So I couldn't find it in the house. So about 2 nights later, I'm sitting in the television and he drops this £5 note on my lap.
You said, Ian,
and then brilliant. About 2 weeks after that, he said that he dropped the £10 note on my lap. So I thought, hey, this guy's a big earner, he's taking my money.
It's the way forward, exactly. It's magical in every sense of the word. Ian, if you'd be kind enough to actually stay with us, we'll be going up to the news very, very shortly. Second part of I shall just rewind that in the best of ways. I was caught by the sight of Ollie and Obo looking up at me from the Facebook photograph that they actually got there.
In a little basket of things.
They're in that very same little basket. Frankly, we should actually have that as the huge mammoth poster that anybody coming to Lincoln should actually see and say. Ian Lennox's cat.
Yeah, if you want to see these cats, turn around, go to Newcastle.
Mm. Anyway, we might have a little find out in terms of what John Wenham has put together in terms of his wonderful diary after the news. We're also going to be talking about trunkies. Do you have a trunkie, Ian?
I don't know what a trunkie is.
It's a suitcase, Ian.
A
trunkie. Trunkie suitcase, because not only have we got trunkies, we've also got trunkie journeys, which is the ideal way of combating travel woes. They're mobile, they're the world's first ride-on suitcases, they act as a seat, they're cabin-friendly, they do all sorts of things, they've got trays and packages, and they were turned down by Dragon's Den. But we have the founder... Uh-huh. Of the Trunkie, who's coming in to actually join us, together with Jane Anderson, editor of Family Traveller magazine, the founder of and designer of the Trunkie suitcase, being, of course, Rob Law. So that's great news as far as that's concerned. William said, well, hopefully he'll join us because he's on BBC Radio 4 Start the Week. I know it's another station. Other stations are available, just about. And he'll be sort of sharing his views on eggs or anarchy. And, of course, we've got sports nutrition, item that Kenna and Catherine were involved with earlier in the week with Nigel Mitchell, all about the importance of snacking. So that's almost unmissable, isn't it, Ian? I mean, if you were delivering that as a continuity announcing lineup, you'd say, why would you go anywhere else?
I'd postpone the rest of the day, Alex.
I think so. Yeah, so, you know, psyching oneself up, working
through... Of course, you can't see the smile on my face on radio.
I don't know. We sense that. You've always got to broadcast with a smile, Ian. Otherwise, it just sounds so miserable. It's got no point in living. And on a programme which has actually taken us, as Catherine's rightly said, from pensions through to, of course, last night's funeral scenario. Buried or cremated? Cremated or buried? Critical points, Ian. We don't know where. By the way, which one would you got for yourself, just out of interest?
I'm down for cremation.
Are you?
My will, yes.
That's just out of interest. You know, that's because, you know, a sneeze could go all over St James Park.
There's a shortage of land here.
Okay. News coming up very, very shortly. Specifically in 40 seconds from now. After a little, actually, we have a little touch of sugar bear in the morning. You don't know. I think we'll talk through those 6 seconds, which will take us neatly round to the news jingle, which will launch us into a whole range of wonderful, magical things.
The latest news and sport on Siren 107.3 FM, Leven's first community radio station.
From the Sky News Centre at 9, Theresa May and Boris Johnson will both.